Okay. All right. What a pleasure to have Elder Ukwala here. It's a great opportunity to discuss important things, and I'm very excited. And I have many questions, but I think, you know, we're gonna probably follow the communication, you know, to go smooth. Well, first and foremost, before introducing you, for those few that might not know who you are or your work, or that might not have seen some of your YouTube videos that are really super excellent, I just have one question. What do you think for you would be the best use of our time during these times of transition? Meditation, time with animals and plants. What will be your take on it? Tell us.
In these times right now, and you are feeling where your heart is searching for a direction, and we have to be able to be in the ready receivership of what is channeling in at the moment. Now, everything in these times, when I refer to the words that I'm using, I want for one to understand that we're pulling upon the spiritual spontaneity of flow, what seems to be appropriate at this moment, simply to begin the discussions. This is what we're doing. I've allowed for the sage to burn to give us that permission and request and intention so that we can bring in a flow from a divine source rather than just coming in from our own intellect and our own earthwalk experience. But how the flow of what is happening within this portal of time, where best can we direct our energies? This is going to be very, very different to every individual. Each one of us is at a level of experience, presence within the earth walk that is going to determine what is going to be the resonance that's going to awaken within me, and how is that going to be inspired or motivated. All the modalities that you just named, the meditation, the healing, the attention to various aspects are all appropriate in this time. It's just that each individual, what have you been exposed to be able to bring a consciousness and attention to a situation, and how best within your earthwalk experience have you been taught or told or memory coming through of how best to address it?
Okay. Yes. I want to take a moment. I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but I want to take a moment based on everything that you said to close my eyes for just a few seconds and allow universal source love energy to bathe this conversation and to bathe my space and your space, so we can really talk about these issues from a perspective of truth and beauty. I just want to call upon this energy and call upon all our star family that flow in perfection with truth and beauty and love and light and everything that's good, really, and have their presence here with us during this conversation and for this amazing transition. Yes, I feel their presence already, and the presence of beauty and love and truth and everything that's good. For anybody that is listening or watching this, and now especially young people that might not be well versed on these topics, I know that's for sure. Something I have experienced with friends and colleagues, people around my age that they don't really know exactly what I'm talking about. Can you elaborate a little bit on the terms earth walk and resonance, please?
Okay. Ender, I enjoy and I'm in joy for the fact that we are in a conversation to bring in clarity and illumination, though I will also be in a conscious remembrance of what is our earth walk responsibilities. And I will touch upon that as I go through the progression. In our existence, it is so important for us, when I say the in our existence, that phrase specifically, each one of us is brought into an earth walk that allows for what is to unfold in the way that's going to bring an understanding for each one of us. So as you gestured so beautifully with that moment of silence to touch upon the inner aspect of the unspoken within to come out and be of presence within the exchange was so appropriate. So in that sense, we give that respect to divine source. Let this be in a beautiful flow. Simple request. But as we do this now, I can bring in some of what are the views of what our each individual respective journeys may be. Earth walk and residence were the two operative words that you brought forth. I am birthed into ceremonial oratory from a young child. This is not formal schooling. However, it is something that is brought into a consciousness within every individual that's birthed within into our tribe. My tribe being the Havasupai tribe in the bottom of the Grand Canyon. I come from a very small, intimate tribal family that numbers all of about 365 plus people within the entire of the tribe. But within that, the beauty of isolation and the beauty of the small numbers has allowed for the integrity of culture, tradition, language, song to be the first within our upbringing. And as we bring that forth, then we all are given that the tools to work with within that earth walk. Now, earth walk, that's just a ceremonial way in which ancestors, the traditional people, refer to your life. This is your life. What you do in your life is going to be determined by how you observe what your information flow and experience has been from the moment of your consciousness, the moment of your first breath. And that then, let's just go on to the extreme of that which is resonance. It's a contemporary word. The contemporary nature of this is, what is it that's affecting you on a vibrational level? That vibrational level is going to awaken something within you to have a response. You will have a response with anything that comes into you on a vibrational frequency, and how we best utilize that to reinforce and bring clarity and illumination into the earth walk. And this is where, within our discussion and our exchange here, I'm going to, as best as I can, keep with my traditional wordings or ceremonial use of the words, though be open to be in the remembrance that as he refers to earth walk, it's my life. If he refers to the resonance, it's what I feel and how I would respond to that.
Okay, yeah, that's great to know for everybody, especially people that are not very familiar with these topics, to kind of try to feel inside themselves, inside yourselves, guys, what Elder Ukwala is really trying to convey, which are just basically ancient ways of kind of naming things that we have, you know? And back to your tribe. You're from the Havasupai nation, right? Is that, yeah, that's what it's called. And that's part of the Pueblo peoples, right? Kinda?
No. This, our neighbors would be the Puebloan, the Pueblo.
Uh-huh. Neighbors.
neighbors on the rim of the Grand Canyon.
Okay.
We are from the Yuman grouping of people ancestrally. So the Yuman speakers are the Havasupais, the Wallapais, the Yavapais, the Paipais, and they have a similar language, just a different dialect difference within the various regions. Though that doesn't stop the fact that communications ancestrally within the times of trade, though they may not have been of the language base, it was always a part of the teachings and the skills of our ancestors to know the languages of our neighboring tribes, the Neh, Hopi, with regard to having communications and making the trade for whatever it was that was going to be traded.
Okay. One thing that I know and that a lot of people know, well, some people know about the Puebla people, is that they weren't moved ever, which means that they have been able to keep their tradition, their culture, their land since 1,000 years or longer. And I'm sure that's the same case with the Havasupai people. They've been able to stay in their homeland forever, which changes everything, in my view. Can you tell us a little bit about what it feels, in your view, to be able to be one of the few Native American people that, well, didn't suffer the fate of having to move and all that trauma, have been able to maintain your ancestral lands and culture and traditions, which is so beneficial, in my view, for this process that's happening?
This is a very powerful question, and I want to be able to answer it with the consciousness of your demographics. Whom is listening? Where are they coming from? If we're using technology as the exchange, which is quite different from the original ancestral ways in which communication was done, which was one-on-one within a ceremonial council, to be able to have that exchange of information. Now, because we're in this situation of doing it remotely, this brings in another whole ideology and a whole way of thought that is prevailing right now. And I understand that everyone that is in the position of listening or witnessing at this moment, we have to bring in the information of how what we hear, we can also bring into an embrace of our respective earth walks, our own lives. Now, I will then begin to start addressing your original questions, those that have been put into ancestral lands by way of divine divinity that says you will be the sentinels of a given area. You will be the guardians. You will be the caretakers of said region. And as such, you then, as a gifting of a nation or a tribe or a clan, will have certain specialties. And in that, it would then constitute the ways in which we guaranteed the continued well-being of the Mother Earth. What I want people to understand right now is the fact that we have got to step away from the contemporary concept of us, the us being the people that inhabit the Mother Earth. We tend to feel that the priority is that we are more than what spirituality is, which basically is equating into entitlement. And this is across the board. And we have got to be able to understand that the only reason why we are here is the simple permission of what is beneath us, the Mother Earth, to allow for continued existence and the continued permission to maintain the integrity and the growth and the evolution there within for the betterment of people. Though what is beautiful, and this is a fine line, we exist in a major society where the contemporaries are all in an urban-based setting. And this in itself is detrimental to the survival of spirituality, spiritual consciousness within our earth walks. The fact that I have been birthed into a tribe that has not been in the situation of relocation, and to know that we are there to maintain the integrity of the Mother Earth beneath us and the beauty of what it embodies spiritually. And that's a whole separate other topic issue, but just to realize that we exist, and I will refer the contemporary terming, the human race has responsibilities in maintenance of wherever they may be within their earth walk and existence. And even if it is a matter of relocation, you are now in an area of watch that has been bestowed to you, whether it's by your fathers, your grandfathers, or perhaps your choice of just moving into an urban setting, though you are there with the lineage that is within you. And when I speak of lineages, this is the bloodlines. And I'm not just referencing the indigenous bloodlines. I'm referencing all that is the ancestral connections to your ancestries. And they had a reason and a purpose within their various groups of people to maintain a certain responsibility. So with that said, the beauty of being birthed into pristine nature and the beauty of being brought into connections initially with the language and traditions, it is a great grounding. However, this is not necessarily the formula that everyone is stepping into. We're birthed into urban settings, we're birthed into mixed marriages, we're birthed into interracial marriages and different levels of lifestyle choices, which then brings in a whole nother factor. But again, it comes right back down to the individual of the body tribe being connected to the chief, which is basically that heart connect.
Wow. What you just said really kind of touched a nerve here, because a lot of the time now I'm more in control of my feelings about Mother Earth and my own personality. But for quite some time, it felt that, well, you know, I live in an urban environment, so it has been very difficult to see that most people by far around me don't honor nature. They don't honor Mother Earth. So I've been doing it for a long time because of my upbringing with my father, who I guess I was fortunate enough. It took me a while to realize that I was fortunate enough to have been brought up under that kind of spiritual basics of honoring Mother Earth and the animals. That's part of an essential part of my own spirituality. So yeah, it's I live in an urban environment, and I honor the crows and the squirrels and all the animals every day, and I feel this connection that it's hard to describe, and it's really tough. Now I'm toughened up, but it's really tough to see how people they just don't look at the animals, they just don't look at trees, they just don't have this connection. Because they're doing their things. They are walking on their sidewalks and taking their cars everywhere and play video games and all these things. And it's good. It's what you said. I think some people might feel the same things I felt, that, you know, no matter where you are, you can carry your ancestors, your lineage, your connection to Source and Mother Earth and all the star family and all the beings, no matter where you are, you can carry it. So that's, thank you for that. I just wanted to point that out. Now I just want you to tell us a little bit about your own personal journey. What it is, all the things that you've done, you know, if you can summarize it, and to place you in the place where you are now, such an empowered person, it seems to me like you're in total control of your existence, and you're doing what you have to do, and it's very, very refreshing to see that. So can you please tell us about you, your own personal journey, and who you are now, and what you do now?
Again, I will give you the journey, the earth walk, my earth walk. I don't want, and this is where I'm going to ask of the listeners, the witnesses, the ones that are watching, as I speak, please don't look at me as the focal point. I want for you to understand that my earth walk journey and existence is just as you are within this earth walk. I am no different than you, and everything that I bespeak is basically the you that you need to embrace to understand that this is the journey that you're going to walk through. Now, every one of us, you must remember, we're birthed with the beauty of divine divinity from a divine source from the moment that we are birthed. Given any region, given any group of people, any clanship, any teachings that are there, that is already within our personal cellular structure, our DNA, it is within. And that is something that we already have as a tool that is within the medicine bundle, which is the body that you are walking in within this earth walk. Now, simply, I am birthed as a child into this world through a very humble tribal group and a very humble family. Also realize that every family is not the epitome of harmony, love, and perfection. There is constant turmoil within any group. So there is dysfunction. I want you to understand that we're all birthed into dysfunction. And even if it is the family setting may seem normal from the outward appearance, there is the dynamics of interpersonal relationships, our own emotions that come into it. And that then is what I was birthed into. I was birthed into a beautiful mother and father that had the love for their children. They were very conscious to be able to birth three children. I am the eldest. There is a middle brother. Then there is a little sister. We were very fortunate that we had the teachings from our mother, who was the daughter of a living, breathing, a spiritual being. The world would know them as a medicine man, a holy man. And in tradition, unlike it is now, we tend to just shun our elders into rest homes and not pay any attention to them anymore. In the times past, they were revered, and their decisions and their comments were brought in with great receivership of heart. My grandfather chose my mother, which was his daughter, to live in the household on a seasonal basis. So he would come in and be a part of the household. And in that teaching was within. Now, I say this simply because you have to find every household that is present now, nurture the relationships that you have within the inner sanctuary. The inner sanctuary is basically the family setting, whom is within that. They may be bloodline relations, or perhaps those of you that are in urban settings, these are the peoples that are present in your life right now. Their gifts are beautiful gifts to be able to have that sharing with. So my growth and my childhood was steeped into traditional teachings as well as cultural activities, and as well as a father who was a devout Baptist deacon. So Christianity was brought into my earth walk. I put this into my story simply because I want for you to know that not every family is directed as a collective to just be spiritual, cultural, traditional, or whatever choice that it is that that family makes. There are differences. And in those differences, you are exposed to all of that. And as a child, you honor the mother and the father, which is something that we've distanced from within these times. And there is such a disrespect that is being observed by all now, where as you said, Ender, earlier, that you are becoming much more conscious of that, connect with that earth walk, the natural connection, the organic information coming in. And this is where we need to be. That exposure is going to definitely open you up into what society seems as a norm and the expected role of every individual. Society has created a jading to every person that is born. They seem to think that the success of the world is based in education solely, with a certificate, with the ideology that we need to be in a family setting with picket fence and have three children plus. I mean, this just seems to be the formula that has been part of what has been the input into the mentalities of all people. And this is where now we're going to have to begin to start looking at what are some of the alternatives. In my adolescence, I was exposed to not only the indigenous enrolled schools, I was also exposed into public school systems where you sensed that you knew that you were different. There was the majority was the Anglo students and that mentality. So there's things that we are exposed to for a reason. And there's no negativity in that. You just need to be able to understand that, given the variety of life, learn from it and grow from it and ask the questions that are there, which has led me into doing the prescribed education that is put out there by mainstream that has been completed. Once I did that, I chose to step in and as you enter into the urban setting and became directed a program for outreach for urban Indians within a metropolitan urban setting, which led me then into my recognition and acceptance of going back into the tribe. The tribe, definitely, when I speak of them, they are nations within a nation. The nation themselves have their own leadership, and it is in traditionally, it was the inherited positions of chiefs, but within time, it became elected positions. So tribes have different names for them: chiefs, presidents, chairmen, and they are all in the position of leadership. In my awakening and exposure, and this is where it's important, wherever and whatever has happened within your earth walk is going to remain within you, and you're going to know that. So as I reached my age of 25, which was the time in which people could enter into the political arena for my tribe, I was elected into the leadership first as a sub-chief and then as a chief, which within our tribe we termed them as chairman and vice chairman. So I did my work as in leadership for my tribe for an extended period from 25 to up to about age 32. Which then opened up the doors for many things, exposing me to other directions. And this is where I want for you to be open to seeing what is your passion, what is your interest. Though it may not come immediately, what you feel and what is presented to you is, and without you having to search for it, it is divine by source that you have this as part of the skill, expertise, and experience. So that led me into working in the hospitality industry for many years. And that then opened the doors for the understanding that there has to be a focus in educating all of the relations, all of the world into being a better citizen, being a better ancestor, so that we can guarantee the walk and the wellness and survival of mankind. Which then all along, because of my grandfather's presence in my young age, that finally came in as the choice of what I need to be doing for the remainder of my earth walk. And that is what I'm doing right now. However, in that, we need to be open to how the evolution of society and technology is. What we're doing now is unheard of in ancestral teaching. However, this is the only way in which we can be doing that communique. So I honor everyone that is going to be in the listening of this, or the watch of this, or the witness of this, because it is referring to you. I am simply just the voice in which is going to give you the direction and the support and the motivation and inspiration for you to begin to understand, know where you're coming from. What did you come from? What were you brought from? And maintaining the integrity of that to be that unique individual in that earth walk. And in tradition and culture and spirituality, it is a no-no to ever, ever copy. So you need to be able to be the unique you, but open yourself to the witness and the experience and the exchange of individuals, as well as information, integrating that into yourself, and then bringing an acceptance and integration into your earth walk.
Wow. I feel that what you said, well, it's something that very helpful for me, and I know that it will be very helpful for everyone that's listening. And this interview is being broadcast. I guess it will be broadcast as an exclusive interview for the radio show Squirrels Know. Squirrels Know on KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland, and exclusive interview with Elder Ukwala, and we're talking about awesome things. And the one thing I really want to clarify about the show Squirrels Know and my present journey is that I am very much into the subject of star people and star family, and not only that, but also the subject of planet Earth and how our planet well, obviously needs protection as soon as possible, but also how our planet relates to the rest of the galaxy. Because I think, well, a lot of people, most people in the world, maybe, hopefully I'm wrong, believe that planet Earth is just by itself. But I wanna hear from you, from your own perspective, from what you've been taught, or what you've found out, what you feel in your heart, that is, what is the relationship between Earth and the galaxy? Tell us.
This is a beautiful question, simply in the fact that when we refer the connections back into the ancestral teaching through spirituality, it is understood that we are a part of a small part of an expansive whole. Whole with the W, W-H-O-L-E, a major aspect of what is within the presence of every individual. And this is where we've got to remember, when we look at things from an overall perspective, that is an emphasis in the fact that it reinforces the ceremonial traditional statement, we are all related, relatives. We all are connected in one way or another. The fact that the cosmos is a very important part of the existence of all and looking at the planetary systems, the flow, their trajectory within the cosmos does have a play. We have to be open to understanding that they are a cosmic teacher, in which we need to look at that. Traditional people and First Nations people and Earth-based tribes all refer to all of this as a part of the expansiveness of spiritual teaching. The cosmos offers to us the cycles, the equinoxes, the times of new moon, full moon, the seasonal cycles. All of those are based in the cosmic flow of universe, and they have a very a strong impact into our day to day. And for that very reason, we have to understand that as we exist, when you look for a mentor or when you look for information to make you a better Earth citizen, a good Earth walker, look at the whole total. This is where I have always said the existence of societies historically and people have been secular. And the cycles are the determining factor of what we need to be doing right now. Because this interview at this moment in live time is at the time of the seed gathering and the hunt, and as a result of the harvest, we are now in a transition to really go back in to the within. And even though it is a literal action of taking the harvest in, bringing in the consciousness that we need to start preparing for winter. Symbolically, this is that permission for us to start taking the review, the acceptance of what has come in within our learning for the last 6 months. What have you learned? What have you experienced? And as a result, that's going to give you a direction as to what you need to be doing next. And look at that cosmic cycle as a tool in which you know that this is where you need to be at and where you need to focus the thoughts at. And definitely they are a part of the complete spiritual picture. So we cannot forget about the cosmos and their effect on all of us.
Yes, yes. And to follow along what you just said, do you do anything, if you like to share, I love it if you could share this, but do you do anything specific to prepare or to exercise contact with our star brethren?
Every modality that is brought into the consciousness of all humankind is based in the subject matter of communicating with the essence of the environment and the surrounding, which is inclusive of that cosmic presence around us. Because we are within that moment. When I speak of the modalities, this is the meditation, this is the shape shifting, these are the ceremonies, these are the rising sun welcomings, the setting sun gratitude ceremonies. All of those are the connections to that cosmic communication that has to happen. So I don't want for people to feel that just because we're referring it to as star nations, we are referring, when the we is the essence of spirit beings within ancestrally, we're looking at the whole of creation, and the whole of creation is bringing in the various aspects. If you want to connect with them again, contemporary thought processes are within their own namings to feel that they've discovered something new. All of them are steeped and based into the ancestral teachings, the whole idea of astral travel, of remote travel. All of these are a part of that ability that has been part of your ancestral spiritual makeup that you can pull upon. If you want to give it a naming that's contemporary, that's a choice that you make. However, you need to understand that there is much more to you and the communications that goes beyond the essence of physicality, that human relations, and goes into the whole aspect of cosmic relations. And knowing that all of that is there, you just need to be able to open the various dimensions. And dimensions, again, is a contemporary term. In tradition, these are the levels of spirituality that you can go into to understand that connection with whatever it is that you choose to focus in on.
Okay. Most people, based on my experience, believe that people like us or other people that originate from, you know, on other spheres in the solar system or throughout the galaxy, they have a hard time imagining how these people would be, or you know, based on the movies and series, you know, all the cultural bombardment that we've gotten here in America and the world. A lot of people believe that anybody from outside Earth would be extremely different, or worse, they would be bad. You know, like all the movies that they portray, for the most part, 90% of them are usually monsters that want to take over the world, and it blows my mind that that's what's going on. Can you share with our audience at KBOO 90.7 FM Portland here, and audience on YouTube, can you share with us your take on people that originate on planets that are outside Earth? I mean, planets other than Earth. Yeah.
And this is where in the tool of communication technology, we can set a precedence and a direction that's either going to bring in a positive embrace or promote the fear of society. You have just hit upon a subject matter that you've just said within your oratory, that you refer and the reference was movies, and you are bringing automatically a fear factor into those that are listening to you now. You are also then promoting a thought, a way that you're giving a subject title to. This is not necessarily the way in spirituality. We know that there are many things that we, as the limited mind of the two-legged, the human body, is able to comprehend. The comprehension goes beyond so many levels that we are never ever able to truly understand that. And that is why be open with the idea that there is something more, though you've got to be very careful that you're not going to be putting it into precise definition. There are no extraterrestrials. There are no interplanetary connections in the sense that we know of it through what society says is, the movies, the stories. What there is that interdimensional connection spiritually that puts us beyond into realms that we do not understand. And be for us to put a shape, a personality, a location, and a desire to connect with that, we are doing this with a sense of entitlement. You want this because you feel that that's where you need to connect. No. This is where I want for you to begin your thought processes from. You are a unique creation. You are a unique being. And in your levels of awareness, exposures, and experiences, know that things may not be like your brothers and sisters, which equates to the unique experiences, the things that you do, dream visioning, deja vu, the ability to touch, to heal. All of these are things that are not received and embraced by society at large that we know. And these are things that we've got to be very careful about. We're not in the position to promote something that is unique. You are given certain intelligence and abilities to be able to utilize it for contributing positively back into the earth walk that you lead. And this is where be open to feeling that there is something different. That difference, you don't need to be able to have a title or a given shape or form of it. It's understanding that there are so many things that we don't understand at this moment. And feel free to be in a childlike searching. And in that searching, discovery comes in. And if you do it from that innocence and thy naivete of not knowing, that being that child heart, the discoveries are pure. You begin to understand that this is what society is referencing as that connect to that outer realm. So there are so many things. I know the detriment of society right now is simply that we put titles, definitions, expectations, that if we don't get that, then we are in step right into a fear nature that is going to make us not be the most positive being to walk on this Mother Earth. And it's a question that is not answered black and white. It's so many things that in your unique experiences, be open to receiving and utilizing that as something that is much more than what is the human experience.
Okay, well, I definitely got that. And from this moment on, I'm throwing every cultural item out the window, and I'm just gonna focus on what's important and the positive. Definitely stay on the positive. So because I wanna stay on the positive, I have this enormous love, which I know a lot of people share, for animals. I think my love for animals, it has a lot to do with the fact that animals have been mistreated in ways that I don't even want to discuss for 200 years, maybe shorter than that, longer than that. And I'm not talking about just factory farming, what they do throughout the world with cows and pigs and chickens, but you know, this tendency of human settlements to expand to the point they just expand without regulations on every ecosystem and pushing animals out, and you know, I feel I love them because of that. I think I feel this love for them because of that reason, because I know that it must be really tough to be a wild animal this day and age. I consider, and for the past year I've considered animals or animal beings, as I call them, equal to me, no matter how big or small they are. Maybe they share some fused consciousness like birds do and fish, but they're still as important as I am. What's your take on it, on the importance and value of the identity of animal beings?
It goes beyond just the animals. This is why the whole address of a spiritual person into calling in the well-being for everyone, it is again hitting on that traditional comment of to all my relations. Anyone that is out there has got an essence that was created by a divine source, that divine source giving that the beauty of that being life that had some contribution into the earth walk that they stepped into. Now, what we want to reference here is the word mistreatment, not just to the four-leggeds, but this is mistreatment to everything across the board. This is individuals. This is with societies. This is with lifestyles. This is with the wingeds, four-leggeds, the land base, everything. Thing is mistreated because we're not privy to truly the complete understanding. And that is why this whole time of exchange with us, with this technological tool of this remote interview, is helpful for us, because we have to understand that we've got to have a point in which we can start to reference. Yes, we love our animals. Yes, we love the beauty of the day. Yes, we love our families. Now, but how can we reinforce that into a whole another level that's going to be positive? We don't have the formula or the equation yet, because so much of society's a majority belief ideology seems to be in conflict. We are constantly bumping heads, and that's going to continue. You see that within the societies right now. We have yet to grasp the fact that we are related and we all are alike in the fact that we are of a physical form with heart and mind. And that gives us something to be able to have that common denominator, that connection too. But as we think about all the other things that are non-two-legged, which is that earth walk body, the body suit, our winged friends, our four-legged friends, our creepy crawlers, our tree people, our rock people. And I could go on and on, because these are living vibrations that are out there, that are in the presence, that are of life. Their life is to be able to bring in a natural flow of contributing back into the essence of universe, which brings in the gifts of what may be fresh water, fresh air, the essence of the climates that are bringing in the cleansing, the clearing. All of that is important. So I want for you, the you that is listening, which is inclusive of me, is to be able to have a better understanding and a continued consciousness about the love that we need to put out there. Let everything that is life around you be in consciousness that you are related to them, and walk amongst them in a caring, loving way.
Awesome. Awesome statement. I think a lot of us need it, to be reminded that it's not just the animal beings who have been mistreated, but all beings, all life forms. And it's just a fact. So it's good to have it, to be reminded of that, to everybody right now listening on KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. We're talking to Elder Ukwala live from Sedona, Arizona, right?
No, not
at all. Okay, forget about that.
I am now in the ancestral lands of the Colorado Plateau tribes. That's just a very expansive terming to saying that I'm on the upper foremost border of Arizona and Utah, which is this whole corridor, which has the Colorado River flowing through that, is referred to as the Colorado Plateau. On the Colorado Plateau, there are many tribes that are a part of that, which basically Arizona alone has 23 nations that inhabit the Arizona. And therefore, this whole area is considered ancestrally as the old trade route. So that's where I'm at. And I am so privileged and blessed to be basically living not in an urban setting or a municipality. I'm out in a quasi-remote, pristine nature, high desert land, and I've got beautiful mesas and canyons all around me. But I did live in Sedona for about 20 years, being trained by the elements of the earth vibrations there.
Earth vibrations. Okay, can you elaborate a little bit on the earth vibrations and what that meant during your time in Sedona, Arizona?
And it's not just specific to Sedona. Earth vibrations is a comment that is just a ceremonial reference to how nature communicates with every individual. And communications is with every individual. It's just that we have, because of our constant generational changes and thought processes, we've forgotten about what is part of our complete medicine bundle, what is the capacity and capabilities within us. So that vibration is just that communication of nature around us. And it does teach you. It does teach you constantly. You just have to step out. I know that if ever, and this is a very heartfelt recommendation for you, when you are in a place of stress, a place that you are not knowing, a place that your vibrations are low, you are not feeling well because society and whatever may be around you is not complimentary, step out onto the Mother Earth. It doesn't necessarily have to be pristine, remote wilderness area. It's just the definition of the Mother Earth is if you could take a seed and put it into a small piece of land or even a terracotta pot, and you know that that seed is going to grow with your nurturance. This is that Earth connect. And as you connect with that energetically and vibrationally, it brings in that awakening of ancestral memories. These are memories of things that were a part of your lineages, as well as bringing you in a little bit more clarity of what may have happened within your respective Earth walk to date. So everything is there to utilize affirmation, corrections, awakening, illumination, inspiration. It's just around us, and it's always that Mother Earth, that Earth walk vibration, that is frequency, that is there, that is constantly feeling. Step out, smell the air, smell the plants, feel the earth beneath you. See what is around you, what forms you see in the silhouettes, the shadows. All of that is the language of the Mother Earth, and it's there communicating with you. You just need to be open of heart to be able to see and bring it into a consciousness, and you'll be surprised that as you do so, your own thought processes of your life will flow at the time that you go, what's happening there is applicable to where my situation is right now. And I see that the word that comes through is perseverance, to continue and not be conquered by whatever it is that may be overwhelming right now.
Wow. What you said, it really speaks to me, because I've had that practice, or the practice of taking walks for no reason. I mean, I know the reason now, but it's this need to get out of indoors and just go out, even if it's a city. Here in Oregon, we got plenty of trees, but still a city, but there's plenty of trees and crows and squirrels and blue jays. And I do this every day, like I can't help it. And I see people jogging, like they have a purpose, you know, like I'm working out, or for me, it's just, I need to connect to Mother Earth. This is what I got. I just have to deal with it. it really speaks to me. And just a comment to the audience is that, just to what Elder Ukwala just said, basically, and try to summarize it for you. Just go outside and connect to Mother Earth as much as you can, because it's very helpful, and it will help you. It will give you answers, and it's just all good, right?
And let me just add this to this, to that comment. So true, step out upon her, which is the essence of nature. I don't want to put so much wordage or words in there that may have a different a connotation to different people. I just want for you to understand that nature in its its pure form is a great medicine for you. Now, the one addition that I do want to make, once you step out there, there is a difference between recreational experience with the Mother Earth and spiritual experience with the Mother Earth. Mm. Once you go out and you are in need of spiritual, vibrational frequency, well-being, nurturance to you, step out with the intention that I am stepping out onto you to hear the messages that will correct me in my earth walk right now. If you don't do this, sometimes you're just doing it as a jogger, as a biker, so you're not really, that heart is not focused into receiving the communication. So there is a difference between recreational walking upon the Mother Earth and spiritual walking upon the Mother Earth.
Definitely. So I just want to change the subject now to where we're talking about Mother Earth, who we of course love. I adore her. And I'm sure, I mean, of course you do too. And I think a lot of people that are listening to this show or watching on YouTube also feel this love for Mother Earth or for the planet. They feel this connection. So I want to share with you, Elder Nkwala, that for quite some time, actually since I was very little, I've always had this kind of formless awareness of the galaxy. And for lack of a better term, and I apologize for not having kind of the right terms, but for lack of a better term, of a galactic government of some kind, that it's not governments as we understand them here. They're really, it's hard to explain. It's just heavenly associations that are able to protect planets and protect the galaxy with love and purity that it's really hard to comprehend on our Earth existence here because of all the limitations here. But I am specifically very much aware of especially since about 2 years ago, and especially since about 1 year ago, that, this galactic government that actually some people call Federation or Confederation, or some people call it the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets, whatever, you know, term works best. This is a real thing, and I am actually quite convinced it is. Based on the information I've gotten during prayer with Mother Earth, during meditation, you know, while breathing in and out next to a tree and trying to connect to the mother and to the animals, I've come to understand that there is a kind of a mandate or a plan. It's definitely, I know it sounds a little tough when I say the word mandate, but it really is. It's a mandate to protect this sphere and to provide for the people on the surface the opportunity to experience their true potential, which is mainly based on the fact that the sphere, the planet itself, the planet herself, it's too valuable. It's too valuable to be allowed to be destroyed, because basically, there are laws, and it's very, for lack of a better term, it's intolerable for the people that kind of manage this federation to see the planet being destroyed. So there is this mandate to integrate. I call it the Protocols of Galactic Interaction, to integrate the Earth to our greater galaxy. Can you give us your thoughts on this? This is very important to me. It's very important to the audience. This is kind of like the theme of the show for the past months. It's about the protocols of galactic interaction. So give us your thoughts from your own experience.
Let me first off just reference an acronym. POW. POW, precision of word. You have just given a beautiful oratory, but you gave specific words to something that is very controversial in society at large. If in fact, whatever belief system we have, whatever the impetus of wisdom, information that is coming in, it must come through what is the active participant and embodiment in whatever reality that we're in. The reference, the translation is we're in a human body right now with limited understanding of society and their mental intelligence. They don't quite comprehend what you just referred to.
I know.
In our traditions, these are things of the spirit in the cosmos. There is intellect spiritually that is coming into all of us in ways that are giving us that ability of wisdom to bring it in and carry it within this earth walk, body, and responsibility. What is going to be a detriment if I walk in with the attitude that this is where I'm getting all of my information from, I have turned off everything of what the intelligence is in this earth walk to be in positive receivership of. I need to step within that step and walk amongst them with the essence of presence that is known as a human being in a human earth suit, with the intelligence that may be coming from the cosmos, may be coming from the ancestral councils, may be coming in that is generated by the spiritual grid globally and intergalactically. That is something that is never discussed. What they must see in front of them is an epitome, a silhouette that is without word. They're going, my God, who are you? And even if it touches the wrong button, the fact that it touched a button is what's important. And if that button touching is going to create conflict, welcome it, because your information is coming from that intergalactical council. I don't dare use that word. I don't dare use the ceremonial medicine councils. I just bring in my view at that point with the wisdom that is brought in by all that I am brought into privy of. Our position is not to promote the from whence it came. Our position is to be able to receive the information that is coming in from many levels and many names of information that is out there. But I am the being that has to walk on this Mother Earth. You and the listeners are the beings that have to walk on this Mother Earth. And therefore, you have to be able to embody the essence of what is more than just a human being, a two-legged being. If you profess to be in the council of the master cosmic jury, then you better embody that within your physical silhouette that's going to have an impact on people energetically. Because if you are aware that that cosmic, that unseen frequency in us has an effect with us not even saying a word. It's us in the presence that they're going to go, my, I just felt something from you. I don't understand why, but I felt that. Then you follow it up with whatever your ability is and your position. You are holding, you are hosting a time of vibrational audible exchange, which is the perfect tool in which it speaks to the demographics that are wanting to know. What I am saying is know it, embody it, and present that within your earth walk without having to bring in the throwing out of names. And that's what is always a part of our tradition. You do not name drop. I watch so many of our people's, I watch and witness so many of the world's population. Well, I learned this from the great teachings of the medicine woman in the mountains. You've just lessened your integrity as a spiritual being. So you have to be able to know that that was where it came from, but you speak it as if it is your own, because any teacher, any mentor, anyone that shares information, they automatically, telepathically say, take it, young one. And when you speak next time, speak it with that strength of wisdom. Don't pull my name into it. Put your stamp onto it as this essence of expansive wisdom. And I don't know if that's going to touch with every one of us, but it's a very broad concept that we have to start entertaining now.
Yeah, well, you said very important things. I don't know, I mean, I wouldn't ask you to elaborate on, although if you want to, that would be great, on the idea of embodying what you're talking about without name dropping. How can I do that? How can other people do that? Because well, the name dropping is just for many of us on our young journey. It helps in denoting certain things. Yeah. So any tip on how we can change that and not use names?
With consciousness, Ender, I am not saying no or yes to anything. I am giving you the tools in which, and the listeners, the tools in which you have to be conscious about it. There will be a moment in an exchange of some sort that you've got somebody that is such an, excuse sometimes the languages that I choose, even in POW, precision of words, I have to use something that is gonna have an impact on you. But there are assholes out there that will not listen because there is arrogance and ego and entitlement in their nature. And we're going to connect with those many times. And we've got to be aware that don't let your whole commentary or oratory say, well, this I learned from guru so-and-so, or I learned this from the medicine man that was of the Canyon people. This then is simply saying, well, then without them, you're nothing. You don't know anything. This is why I'm saying at certain moments, speak with such strength from a spiritual knowledge and wisdom that has been shared to you. But at a certain moment when that, again, asshole is constantly baiting you into conflict, then it's appropriate at that moment that the scientific community recognizes through this particular experiment that this was found as valid to the well-being and the continued survival of mankind. And it was this individual who happened to discover it. And I do believe in his or her philosophy or teaching. Again, with a consciousness, do you understand? Because at certain moments, we do have to say, well, you know, it's not just me speaking from a spiritual place. It's scientifically proven that this is part of the nature of our spiritual prowess within the earth walk.
Yeah, I think I got that. I think I definitely understand what you just said. And I'll try to speak from my own perspective right now, and it is that, okay, I'll just be blunt. The earth does not just belong to people on earth, and this is something that I know I have to convey to people, and other people have to, but the earth belongs to the galaxy, and the galaxy is vast and quite ancient, and there is no way, and I tell you, fellow Earth citizens, there is no way that our galactic institutions are going to allow the destruction of planet Earth or the power of all resources placed on 1% of the population that possess no wisdom whatsoever. That's just not going to happen. There are principles of free will that are respected because well, it seems free will is kind of like the most important thing. It's a sacred thing. in the universe. And that's why things are allowed to happen here. That's why et cetera happens here. With that being said, the earth is deserving of knowing where we come from, where people from Earth come from, and how complex and wonderful this galaxy truly is. So with this being said, how do you think that people should feel if they feel a little kind of nervous about these interactions with the rest of the galaxy? I think a lot of people might feel a little nervous when this process begins. Since our galactic institutions are entirely made out of love, the love that a child feels for their kitten, for example, that exact same perfect, precious love is the love that powers this galaxy and powers all of us that manage the galaxy. What would you tell people if they feel a little apprehension towards this process?
What I would say is, don't put it into a category right now. When we put it into a subject column or category, we then have an expectation that it's going to have set effect on whomever based on what we say. We have to understand that when I reference the term embodiment, the essence of what they see has to have a presence that is there that's going to command attention. Then that's even before you have said a single word. So the word that comes out must be of spiritual intelligence, not Western intelligence, spiritual intelligence. But that spiritual intelligence, basic intelligence, equates to the references to those councils, to those teachings in ways that are not understood by our brothers and sisters. And we've got to be very aware, again, POW, position a precision of word. I don't want to start calling them anything other than my brothers and sisters, because I am one of them. And therefore, even though I am aware of it, I need for them to understand that there are things that we do not understand. And in that aspect of it, the information that is coming, let us take a look. The subject matter is the galactic system, the cosmos, how they travel. Even if it's a rudimentary understanding, there is a precision in how they exist within the whole. That in itself is a teaching element, because we rotate at a different level, a different speed, a different grouping. All of these still must work within the precision of the whole. So then that is reinforcing the fact that we cannot change the projection of where we're at. We have a flow that needs to be followed, but we need to work in harmony with all that is about, which then basically will translate into our Earthwalk system. How best can we work with each other, with the symbology or the equation in which the cosmos sets, and how we can bring in a better understanding to be a good Earth citizen or a good cosmic citizen. So everything that happens within our existence is all generated by the whole of the cosmos. We just need to be aware that if there's questions, look upon it in ways that is going to be looking at it and witnessing it to bring in clarity for what your question may be at that time.
Okay. How are we with time right now? Are we good?
I am fine.
Okay, great.
Your group is.
Great. I have a question. There's a term that is very much used, I suppose we might say Western culture or our American culture, for kids or young people that feel this connection to the cosmos, they feel a connection to Earth and the animals, definitely, but they also feel this massive connection to other planets and galaxies. And some of them use names, you know, like star systems. That's unnecessary in my view, but they do feel this connection, which is atypical. Most people don't feel a connection, in my view, to other planets or galaxies. There's no connection. But these people, they call themselves star seeds. And because I don't know who came up with that term, but it's kind of an umbrella term, you know it, that a lot of young people use to define themselves, because it helps them kind of take control over their lives a little bit. Can you tell us your perspective on, especially kids, like I'm talking about maybe younger teenagers or young adults who experience a little pain because of this connection and living on a planet that, for us, it's so disorderly that it's tough. I'll just leave it at that. It's just tough to live here for kids that consider themselves star seeds. Can you give us your perspective on star seeds and how, if you could counsel them onto how to take control and move forward?
And I don't know that even counsel is the right word for it, because there is no right or wrong within our understanding of what's going to give us a resonance. A resonance is one that's going to make us connect, that we know that it's something real for us. So whatever it is that's going to make you have a response in a good way or a bad way, there is definitely the connection. And if it is that we're going to utilize the words, then use the words that are going to have an understanding for you. And this is why I hate referring to this, but this, not hate, I love referring to it, though it's the example of what you're just saying. There's a different language that the contemporaries speak now that is different from our past. And therefore, that whole acronym of precision of word, POW, is there to bring in something that's going to have me have a resonance of understanding. So instead of talking about a wilderness experience, I'm just going to give you some examples. The contemporary terming is rewilding. Instead of going with the old word of wilderness experience, the whole concept again of spirituality connecting with that spiritual ways of tradition, culture, and teachings, it's just not understood anymore. So it's that same, the contemporary wording is re-spiriting. I'm re-spiriting to understand what is before, because I have a heart. And when I say I is in the reference to the population around. I have a hard time in trying to have an understanding when you're referring to it as spirituality or as a cultural wisdom. Though I can understand when you're saying re-spiriting, it's speaking of a spirit that is within me, that the re is reconnecting back with it. So utilizing what is there. So in the terms of star seed, whatever it is that makes you feel that's going to give you the inspiration, impetus, and motivation to be a better Earth citizen. You can't get away from that right now. You are an Earth citizen that is walking upon this Mother Earth. Because you are in that silhouette, you have a responsibility to integrate whatever it is that's coming in as an informational flow to you, to your brothers and sisters. And it's not to condemn them for not knowing, because they don't know. They're truly naive, from a place that just they can't comprehend. And therefore, we have to have that precision of word to give them the sense that you are different. And because your experiences are different and not like your brothers and sisters, don't feel that you are something that is in the term of freak. You are basically in connection with things that your brothers and sisters are not in privy to. So accept that and be in a consciousness, because until the world can understand all of these other terms that are being brought forth, they're completely naive to it right now. Just the essence of your presence, embodiment, and how you conduct yourself within your physical earth walk is what's going to command the attention and affirmations of what you embody out there.
Okay, that was very clear. You just said something about the world not being ready for you know, these terms, or having galactic institutions protecting planets. Definitely not, unless, you know, people are into sci-fi. But it is my understanding that, and please, you know, give us your perspective on it, like what you think, but it is my understanding that it's really not required for, at this point, because of the position, the place where Earth is, it's not really required for people to be entirely ready for galactic interaction. It's just what's meant to happen. Any thoughts on that? You know, how would you explain to people that are completely unaware of a greater galactic reality that this is just happening? I think this might be kind of like the same question I asked before, but I just really want to hear your thoughts on it again.
The operative word is interactions. Mm-hmm. And that's all you want to focus in on. When we start to expand on that and say this is spiritual wisdom coming in from the medicine councils, from the mystic realm, or from the cosmic council, or the spiritual council of the planets, whatever terming that we are going to choose from, this has to be able to have in your presence and body the ability to understand that and to interact accordingly with that information. It is so difficult at this time, and everything that you're asking is the essence of our understanding within this earth walk. We do have many, many questions. However, we don't have the answers for them at this moment. So until we do, we have to maintain a sense of conscious protection of the information that is coming in. You have to understand that what we talk about that is beyond the realm of Earth, Western intelligence, is that of that spiritual connect, and whatever level and namings that you want to use it, it is there. But within our own understanding, it's the ability of the dream visioning, the day visioning, the meditation, the out-of-body experiences. These are things that are the communications that we do have some sense of connection to in the human language. And those are the areas that are somewhat understood, because they know that it is a word within the language. So to take it from that point and then evolve it, the evolution and the progression of that is just that. It is in a flow. Be very careful not to throw the full impact of information to anyone. They've got to first understand that there's something more than just what you understand within your earth walk and your mom's and dad's teaching, or the philosophies of mainstream within your municipality or different clans. Though the fact that we have to look at the contribution of information that is witnessed by all of us on a daily basis, how best can we, whatever it is manifesting into, whether it is of hatred, whether it is prejudice, whether it is of selfish agendas, these are all out there. Though we need to be able to bring in the energies that are going to have some contribution into potentially giving a change. The fact is that it's not going to take just one individual. It takes the collective of all those that are placed globally. And that is why those that are listening within this opportunity now, it's not just specific to a region. It is directed to the essence of all of us that are able to listen to it for, in this technological format and table in which the information comes through. So be open to everything, but in that openness, be able to do your soul searching to feel what that's going to mean for you, and do the journey progressively as to how to bring that into the conversations of whatever may be happening within your earth walk at that time.
Okay. Well, this has been a great conversation for me, and I think for everybody. Hopefully it was for you too. I just want to, well, conclude the interview soon, in just 5 minutes. And I have one last question. It is the, one of your videos, which I can't locate right now, but it's one of your older videos. I'm going to look for it while you answer. But basically, you say many things, and then you throw kind of like a main message on the video. And it is that stay on the positive. Like, no matter what you do, stay on the positive. Can you elaborate for our audience what that really means, and the power of it, of staying on the positive?
First off, we've got to remember that we have a responsibility as this earth suited body, this human form that we're in. And with that in itself, it opens up the awareness of what society is ready to receive and ready and not ready to receive. And therefore, the information that you're making reference to, all of this, and this is known within the spiritual genre, a lot of that, if you step away, you as the individual step aside into a third person and allow for the body being to be the tool of receivership, the antennae to whatever it is that's going to come through, it will come through and it will flow nonstop. But at a certain moment, the third essence and person of you will be given the opportunity, as you're the example being, we're going to close this interview with this last question. That third person steps back in and then says, basically, all of that I just said basically equates to this within our understanding of our earth walks. So there's an interplay that happens there. When we choose to just let us be the pilot in the flow of what needs to come in, we're just thinking from ego, entitlement, Western knowledge, where we've just shut the door of what we're speaking about, the subject matter of that unseen. So we do have to step aside and just let that flow. And when that flows, then at a certain moment, you'll pop back in and say, oh my gosh, we've gone an hour and a half. The interview is going to close.
Yeah, I thought that. The video I'm talking about has 113,000 views. It was uploaded 10 years ago by Earth Star TV. I think the website, it might be working still, starknowledgetv.com. And the title of the video is Native American Elder Qualla Speaks from Sedona. And that video is just epic. Like, personally, I watched that video, I think maybe 8 years ago when I was a little kid, and really kind of like opened my eyes. So I think I've been a fan of you all this time. And this is for the audience, for the YouTube audience, this is the video of Elder Qualla talking from Sedona about really important things, and just awesome video. So check it out. Thank you very much for being here, for our audience at KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. And please, do you have any closing words?
My heartfelt love and respect for every single individual that's going to hear this, see this, feel this. And this is the tool in which we are being given by this unseen divinity, whatever name that we may give it. It gives us that opportunity within our own sacred space of self and in our sacred sanctuaries to understand and bring in a tool in which to assist us in bringing clarity within our earth walk. It's not going to end now. It's going to continually bring in the challenges day to day. The reference ancestrally simply is that the initiations are ongoing for the remainder of your whole earth walk. So be in open receptivity, but you must, for anything that you go through, gratitude. Be thankful for everything that comes through, and don't necessarily term it as something that is a Christian exercise. It is an expression of your heart, soul, connect to the unseen that is giving you the affirmation, the nurturance, the reinforcement to be the brilliant being that is within you. So with that, in my language, we say, adieu, I'm happy. Vanyam vakipikapika, today as we've gathered. Wasiv han nikwitcha, hold on to a good thought. Mavok mahana, walk in a good way. Bakyova, bam uk bam of so, creator source, watch us, protect us, hear us, heal us. Many blessings.
Oh, many blessings. Yes, that was Elder Ukwala. My name is Elder Black. Thank you so much for participating in this. And many thanks to Elder Ukwala for giving us his precious time for this conversation. Okay, we're set. Thank you, Elder Ukwala. That was awesome. We can hang up now. I'm sure you have stuff to do. I would love to, maybe talk to you at some other time. Take care.